Well, I'm humbled and honored to be with all of you this morning, worshiping God together. I do want to say, if you are a guest here with us today, we are so honored and blessed to have you. You honor us with your presence here today. It is a good day. It is Father's Day. And so to those fathers out there, happy Father's Day. I hope that you have a great day and maybe go out to a restaurant or have a great home-cooked meal. Whatever the case is, I hope that you have just an absolutely wonderful day. I do want to say this, too. I know that there may be some here today who want to be a father, but maybe because of pregnancy issues or whatever the case may be, different health issues, maybe you can't be a father. There might be several reasons why that's the case. You may have had children that you have lost or children that have gone astray for whatever reason. So maybe for Father's Day, for some of you, it might be kind of a bittersweet day. I want to say this. From the bottom of our heart as a community of faith, we say we're sorry. We stand with you in that disappointment and that frustration. We hope that through our worship here together today, and as we live as a community of faith, we hope that you will come to know the Heavenly Father and to understand that even through your difficulties and your struggles, you have a Father who loves you very much, a Father who was willing to give His own Son for you. And so today, we not only celebrate our earthly fathers, but we also celebrate our Heavenly Father, the one in which we have hope, security, and eternal life. And so we worship our Heavenly Father here today together. I remember several years ago, in fact it was in the year 2000, I was sitting in a Days Inn parking lot, sitting in my Dodge Dakota, bawling my eyes out. It was a hot August day. Literally crying like I had never cried before. Tears just pouring down my face, bawling, even making weird sounds. I didn't know what was happening to me in that moment. All I knew is I was crying like I had never cried before. You see, just minutes before that crying episode, my parents had pulled out of the Days Inn parking lot. You see, they had just dropped me off for college, and they were staying at the Days Inn. And so, in that moment, as I was crying, I think I understood the gravity of the choice that I had made to go to Oklahoma Christian University, 1,000 miles away from Toledo, Ohio, literally 1,000 miles away from Toledo, Ohio, where I grew up, the place that I knew, where my friends and family were. I was going into a completely new situation. And for whatever reason, in that moment, on a Sunday afternoon in the Dodge Dakota, it all hit me like a ton of bricks. My life, from this point forward, I was thinking, was going to be completely different. It was at that point that I realized that choices matter. We make a lot of choices in life. Obviously, one choice that we make each day is whether we're going to get up and go to work and eat. So some choices that we make are rather small. What we're going to wear that day, what we're going to drive, we're going to take public transportation, we're going to take our car. We make choices all the time, hundreds of choices each day. Some choices are rather small, but some choices are rather big, too. Where we're going to live, whether we're going to believe in Jesus Christ or not, who we're going to marry, whether we're going to marry or not. All of these choices are big, and so we have phrases that we know very well that are related to choices that we make. Phrases like, I do, it's a boy, or it's a girl, congratulations, it's now yours, how much does it cost? Things like that are phrases that we hear, and they all are based on choices that we make. Choices matter. In fact, many choices that we make can alter the direction of our life. And a lot of times we go through life as if choices don't matter. But the truth is that the choices that we make each and every day matter in our life. Today we're going to look at a passage in Joshua chapter 24, a passage that probably many of you know very well. In this passage, which is in Joshua, the sixth book of the Old Testament, named for one of the great leaders of Israel, Joshua presents a choice that the Israelites, the people that he's been leading, need to make. He presents them with a choice. And in this presentation of the choice, he also states what his choice is going to be. And on this Father's Day, I think, especially for those fathers that are here today, I think it's good that we reflect on the choice that Joshua made, and hopefully it's a choice that we'll implement into our own lives as well. The great poet Robert Frost talked about choices when he said that were two ways, let me read this so I don't mess it up, two roads were diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. You see, the choice that Joshua was going to make in Joshua 24, what we're going to read about in just a second, and the choice that he was presenting to the community of faith was a choice that was going to make all the difference. What choice would the people make? So let's get into this text. This is Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." This is Joshua talking to the community. "Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua is giving his farewell speech. He's come to the end of his life, the end of his leadership. And at this point, he lays it all on the line. Imagine if you were to give a farewell speech. What would you say to the people that were listening to you, if anybody was listening to you, as you were giving this farewell speech? You see, I think when we give a farewell speech, we find out what we're most passionate about. What things are most important to us? As a matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to the young adults ministry at the Edmond Church of Christ, a group that I had been leading for several years. And in that moment, I thought long and hard about what I was going to say to that group of young adults on that day. And as I was working through what I was going to say, it became very clear, these are the things that I was most passionate about. These are the things that I wanted to pass on. These are the things that I wanted those young adults to hold on to. So what would you say in your farewell speech? Joshua here, as he's giving this farewell speech, he's going to recount the ways of the Lord. He's going to account for the great things that God has done for the people. And he says, starting in verse 14, "Serve the Lord with faithfulness. Fear the Lord." Things like that. Starts off saying, "Fear the Lord." We've talked about fear the Lord before. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've talked about what it means to fear the Lord. One of the things that always comes up as we discuss that is that it means showing respect and reverence for God. And I believe that that's true. I believe there's an aspect of fearing the Lord that is about having respect and reverence for the Lord. But I wonder sometimes if we jump too quickly to saying that fearing the Lord means respect and reverence and forget about the idea of fear that means fear. You think about what these Israelites had experienced with God, and Joshua specifically. They had seen the sun stand still. They had watched God conquer, wipe out entire nations with a little tiny Israelite army. They had watched as God led the people in destroying Jericho, watching those walls fall down. I think when Joshua says, "Fear the Lord," and the people were thinking about who the Lord was and what they'd witnessed Him do, I think when they heard fear, they thought fear. They thought terror. Whenever you read in Scripture about people encountering God, coming into the presence of God, or God in the flesh in Jesus Christ, you ever notice what the people do in those moments? They fall down on their face. I think in those moments, it's not just a respect or reverence. I mean, it is that, but it's more than that. I think when people come into the presence of God and we watch them fall on their face, we watch them, and Scripture even says a lot of times that they were fearful, they were afraid, they felt terror in that moment. I think it's because they were in that moment getting a sense of what it actually means to be in the presence of God. And in those moments, it was terror. Utter terror. And so as Joshua says to these people, fear the Lord. I think what he's trying to communicate to them is, God is so much bigger, so much more powerful than you. God holds your life in his hands. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. He also says, serve him with all faithfulness. I already mentioned this, but earlier in chapter 24, as Joshua starts this farewell speech, one of the things that he does is recounts all that God has done for them. He's led the Israelites out of Egypt. He provided for them on the Exodus. He was the one that conquered all those nations as the Israelites moved into the promised land. Don't miss that. It was God. It wasn't Joshua. Sure, Joshua was leading, but it was God leading through Joshua and providing for the people the promised land. And so Joshua tells the people all of this stuff. Essentially, what he's telling the people is throughout Israelite history, God has been faithful to them. He has shown, the Hebrew word for it is hesed. He has shown hesed, covenant love, covenant faithfulness to the people. God's promises are true and God keeps his promises. So Joshua tells that to the people. God is one who has demonstrated faithfulness to you from the very, very beginning. And now Joshua said to the people, now you serve him in faithfulness. You be faithful to him as he has been faithful to you. Then Joshua says to the people, throw away those gods. Throw away those gods. Yes, God has been faithful to these people. Everywhere that the people have turned, God has protected them. God has provided for them. And yet, the people have turned to these idols. They've turned to these other gods. And so we have to ask the question, if God is so powerful, if God has done so much for the people, then why in the world would they ever turn to these other gods? That's a tough question. If God has been so powerful, if God has shown so much hesed, so much covenant love to the people, then why in the world would the people turn their backs on gods, back on God to serve these other gods? I kind of came up with three ideas here, and these are nothing earth-shattering here. As I reflected on that question, I came up with sort of three ideas. The first one is just called the chameleon effect. So the people were surrounded by other nations that served other gods. And as the people spent time with these other people, as they were surrounded by them, as they watched these other people live, they started to adopt the lifestyle and practices of these surrounding nations. They started to blend in to these other societies. And there were probably some residual positive effects of serving these other gods, of mirroring the other nations. You'd have to imagine there were some economic benefits from that. There probably would have been some security benefits for looking like the other nations. Some political ramifications for mirroring the other nations. And so there's the chameleon effect at work. Secondly, I think there's this sort of microwave effect that's at work. Again, the question we're reflecting on is, why in the world would the people ever turn their back on the God to serve these small g gods? Second one, I kind of call the microwave effect. And by that, I mean, we not only do we live in a society today that is a what have you done for me lately society, but I think that's been sort of human nature throughout history. And so these people so quickly would forget about what God had done for them. Sure, God had conquered these other nations, but it seems like just in a short amount of time, the people would forget that. That happens in our lives today. God does some incredible things. We're thanking God for his providing for us, for his answering our prayers, things like that. And a week later, we've fallen into the same traps. We're giving into the same temptations, things like that. And so I think there's this microwave effect thing going on. I think that's one of the reasons why over and over again in Scripture, in Joshua's farewell speeches and Moses' farewell speech throughout Scripture, these great leaders are reminding the people of what God has done for them. They needed continual reminders of what God had done for them. Each Sunday, we come together and spend time around the Lord's table, enjoying being in the presence of God with the community as we remember the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're reminding ourselves, because this human nature is sort of this microwave effect. It's, what have you done for me lately? It's all quick. It's all quick. We forget things so quickly. The third one is simply what I call sort of the me effect. I saw a tweet once that said, I love me some me. And so you think about idolatry. Probably at the heart of idolatry is this self-centered me worship. It's all about me. It's what I want. And so people throughout history have forgotten about God because they're self-centered. Because it's all about what I want. I'm going to create a God in my own image. A God that looks a lot like me. That's kind of at the heart of idolatry. You have these different things going on. But for whatever reason, Joshua offers this farewell speech. He says, fear God, serve Him in faithfulness, and throw away those other gods. Throughout Scripture, too, one of the metaphors that is used for the relationship between God and His people is marriage. And what God says to these people about this marriage relationship that the people enjoy with God is when they turn their back on God, when they serve these other gods, they are committing adultery. Committing adultery is the language that He uses when people turn their back on Him. And here's the thing. I think probably one of the deals with these people and why Joshua is sharing this with the people right now is because they thought they could serve both the small g gods and God. But one of the things that's very clear throughout Scripture is even sort of trying to serve both of them is still adultery. It's still breaking a covenant that the people have made with God. You think about in marriage relationships, and even in your own marriage relationships, you think about if your husband was to flirt with another lady, or if your wife was to flirt with another man. You think about how that would break your heart, even if it's just flirting. I'm not talking about moving away or living with or anything like that. I'm just saying just flirting, maybe online flirting or just at the office, just a little bit of flirting. You think about the jealousy that would just build up within you because of that. It's the same with God and these small g gods. Joshua's saying, choose one or the other. Quit flirting with these other gods. It's either God, the one true creator God, or it's nothing. Joshua, in uncertain terms, is saying, make a choice. And fathers, I would say, Joshua makes his proclamation, the choice that he's going to make, I think we need to allow his statement of faith to make its home in our hearts. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Of course, it's no surprise to us that Joshua would make such a faithful proclamation. Joshua is the one, remember when the spies went into the land, it was Joshua who said, God's got this. This land is good. This is land that we can move into. When all the other spies, it was only Joshua and Caleb that made the faithful proclamation at that point. All the other spies said, we're like grasshoppers compared to these people. There's no way that we can conquer these people. It was Joshua who said, God's got this. Let's follow His lead. It was Joshua who was alongside Moses as Moses spoke the law. It was Joshua who prayed to God, sun, stand still. And guess what? The sun stood still. It was Joshua who led the Israelite army so many times to victory. So it's no surprise to us. Joshua's life was a legacy of believing in God and God's purposes and God's plan. Joshua had given his life to service of life and his life to the service of God. And we need to say this. It wasn't what we see about Joshua's life. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't, he just didn't say the right things, but throughout the book of Joshua, we see Joshua living it out. Each and every turn, Joshua is demonstrating faith in God. Fathers, take note of that. It's not just saying the right things. More importantly, it's about living the right things. The people responded, this is verse 16 now, 16 through 18. The people responded to Joshua. They said this. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." The Israelites respond faithfully. They say, "We will serve the God. We will fear the Lord." Now we have to take note of how Joshua responds to the people's faithful response to him. Notice this, verses 19 and 20. This is interesting. In fact, let me say this. It's pretty apparent that in what we see Joshua saying, it's pretty apparent to us that Joshua didn't go to the Lou Holtz school of pep talks. Okay, as we read through this, just take note of what Joshua says. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." So what's up with Joshua's response to the people? The people had just given the right answer. They've responded the right way. And now Joshua says this to the people? We started this morning talking about how choices matter. I think Joshua, in sort of a weird way, but I think an effective way, is telling the people, the choice that you are making right now, the statement that you are making, is an important one. It is a vital one. This isn't a choice to take lightly. We're talking about the Creator of the world here. We're talking about the God who has been faithful from the beginning to this people. So as you're saying this, don't just provide lip service in this moment. We're talking about the Creator of the world. The choice that you are making right now matters. Don't take it lightly. Joshua said that they are committing themselves to a holy and jealous God. Imagine for a moment if, let's say when the people were striving to conquer Jericho, imagine if God was only kind of with them in that moment, and the walls only came halfway down. Obviously, there was an army within those walls who would have come out and fought against the Israelites. I wonder how things would have turned out. Imagine if the seas, or the Red Sea, as the people were heading out of Egypt, imagine if the waters only sort of kind of parted. How would that work out for the people? Imagine if, as they were battling nation after nation, if God was only kind of with the people at those times. I wonder how those military endeavors would have fared for the Israelites if God was only halfway with the people. Joseph is reminding the people in Joshua 24 that God has been faithful to them from the beginning, and He is a holy and jealous God. He wants all of the people. He desires their entire heart. And God, throughout history, has demonstrated to the people that He is all in for them. The promises that He makes, He keeps. The leadership that He provides in a perfect and powerful way. God has been all in for them. And in response, He desires for the people to be all in for Him. The people respond, 24, 21, and 22. But if the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord," then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. So Joshua made a choice that he was going to serve the Lord, and the people did as well. This meant that the people were going to put their full trust in God. They were going to be all in for Him. They had made a choice that day. It was a choice to give their lives to God. I want to say to the fathers that are here today, thank you for choosing to demonstrate your love to God to your children. We appreciate that you bring your children to Bible class. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with your children. Thank you for choosing to put others before yourself, serving others, serving God. I believe that you will be blessed for choosing to care for your wife in the way that you do. Thank you for choosing to put God first in your life. So Adeline, many of you have already met Adeline. She is 8 months old. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit intimidated by the fact that the choices that I make are going to influence her. Choices matter. Her understanding of God as Father in many ways is going to come from the way that I reflect or choose not to reflect the heart of our true Father, God. The choices that we make matter. Joshua chose to serve the Lord, and he said he and his household will serve the Lord. So I have a question for the fathers that are here today. And really, this is a question for all of us. As for you and your household, will you choose to serve the Lord like Joshua? For those of you that may not have a household, I'll just ask it this way. Will you choose to serve the Lord? That's the question that's presented us today as we worship God together. Will we choose to serve the Lord? David Kinnaman wrote a book, along with Gabe Lyons, wrote a book called Unchristian. One of the things that he noted in that book was that the reason that so many young people are leaving the church today is because their parents and older Christians that they were around as they were growing up would say one thing but live another way. They were inauthentic in their faith. The choices that they would make were not congruent with the faith that they claimed or professed. And so, fathers, keep that in mind. All of us keep that in mind. It's not just about saying the right things, but it's about making decisions, making choices to serve the Lord each and every day. You see, choices matter. And so, to all of us, to fathers and others, I would say this, choose to pray. Choose to study the Bible. People are watching. Choose to serve the Lord 24/7, 365. Choose to make the church a part of your life and to become a part of the life of the church. Choose to serve others. Choose to confess and forgive. Choose to serve the Lord. The gravity of the choice to serve the Lord is so great. At the end of the day, the choice that will matter most, the choice that will matter most, that you choose to serve the Lord. That is the greatest choice that we can make. Sarah and I have made a choice to come be a part of this church family. We are so excited about the opportunity to serve alongside of all of you as we strive to glorify God, as we strive to make the name of the Lord known in Leander and really throughout the entire world. We are looking forward to that. I'll say this, though. The greatest choice that we've made is not whether we're going to come to Leander or not. The greatest choice that we've made is whether we're going to serve the Lord or not. And our choice, over and over again, has been, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. And that means that we're going to be faithful to His call wherever He leads us. And we're so thankful that He's led us here to Leander. And so we're excited about every day choosing to serve the Lord and following Him in all the ways that He desires to lead us. I believe that God has great things in store for this community of faith as we continue to choose to serve Him. Because, like I've already mentioned, as we are faithful to Him, He continually demonstrates His faith to us. God is at work in this community of faith. Let's continue to choose to serve the Lord and watch Him work in powerful ways. If there's anybody in this church family today that has yet not made the most important choice in coming to Christ through baptism, we want you to know, as we sing this song, as Willie leads us, If you want to come forward and make that decision, we'd be so glad to witness you, make that good confession, and come to Christ in baptism. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this church family, we would love to pray with you and for you. We are in this together. We are a community, a family of faith. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.